Welcome and thank you for attending our presentation. The title of our talk, as you can see, Gender Matters, Differences in Self-Rated Health Among Those Living in Racially Segregated New York City Neighborhoods. We have nothing to disclose. Why are we interested in this and why do we care? Because while the health of women in New York City has greatly improved over the past decade, too many women still experience poor health. Women in the poorest New York City neighborhoods have a life expectancy of 5 years shorter than those who live in the highest New York City income neighborhoods. Women in New York City do not receive appropriate levels of preventative care, including cancer screenings, immunizations, and lag behind men in heart disease prevention. We will briefly review and give you some background on the concepts of race and health, neighborhoods and health, gender and health, and then bring it all together for you, and then move on to tell you about our study. As most of us probably know by now, health disparities refers to differences in morbidity, mortality, and access to healthcare among groups defined by such factors as socioeconomic status, gender, residence, and race and ethnicity. And as a quick note, we recognize that there's a lot of diversity in groups. We're going to be using Black because in our data set, our respondents self-identified that way, and we just want to keep it consistent. We also touch on health disparities in other groups. However, we'll be focusing on the disparities between Black and whites because this difference contributes most to the overall health disparities. Now, with respect to racial and ethnic disparities, to put this in perspective for you, we wanted to provide some examples. So Black women are more likely to die of cervical and breast cancer than other women. Heart disease and stroke are the leading cause of death for all racial and ethnic groups, but rates of death are higher for Blacks. American Indians and Alaska Natives are 2.6 times more likely than non-Hispanic whites to have diagnosed diabetes. Blacks and Hispanics are about 2 times more likely. And Black and Hispanic adults account for over 65% of the AIDS cases in the United States. Why is this happening? Well, there are 4 general models that we came across in the literature to explain racial disparities. The racial genetic model is one that emphasizes population differences in the distribution of genetic variants. However, the literature shows that diseases like diabetes, hypertension, and even low birth weight are really subject to environmental influences and not under strict genetic control. Scientists are also trying to identify gene structures that might be associated with hypertension, for example. And these structures are not different in different races. So this model actually appears to have little explanatory power. The health behavior model attempts to explain differences between racial and ethnic groups in the distribution of individual behaviors related to health, such as diet, exercise, tobacco use. Health behaviors can be potent contributors to disease risk. They can be potent contributors to disease risk. However, there's little evidence that alone or in combination, health behaviors can explain racial and ethnic health disparities. And the socioeconomic status model, or SES, says that racial and ethnic disparities are directly related with SES disparities in health. Yes, race and SES are correlated. There are, unfortunately, some races that are overrepresented among lower SES groups, but in general, when controlling for SES, this fails to account completely for racial and ethnic disparities. And finally, the psychosocial stress model explains the stresses associated with minority group status, especially the experiences of racism and discrimination that contribute to health disparities. This is currently a fairly prominent model in the literature, and it really does represent a conceptual advancement over the other models I talked about, in that there's at least an attempt to, on some level, integrate the experience, the unique experience of a minority in a community in the United States, or even a minority community, and show how that experience generates a particular set of stressors that in turn is associated with health and disease. We also believe that neighborhood characteristics are important contributors to health inequality. Diaz, Rue, and Marr present an explanation as to why neighborhood physical and social environments affect the health of residents. There are several reinforcing mechanisms, they say. Residential segregation can result in inequalities in resources in the neighborhood. So the quality of the space, the availability of the resources, can affect interactions within that neighborhood and between its residents. And these in turn reinforce residential segregation. In addition to these factors, individual factors such as financial resources, personal resources, behavioral and stress processes are also related and can make people more or less vulnerable to unfavorable neighborhood conditions. Gender is another factor that can affect health. Women generally experience poorer health than men, yet have lower rates of mortality, but report higher levels of depression and a variety of chronic illnesses. According to the differential exposure hypothesis and differential vulnerability hypothesis, men and women are exposed differently to determinants of health and are vulnerable to those stressors in different ways. So women occupy different roles than men. For example, they're less likely to be employed. They're more likely to be a single parent, have lower income, or do domestic labor. Women report higher levels of health problems because they're exposed to higher levels of demands and obligations on their roles. Also, women are more likely to report and react to stressors experienced by others. So social life stressors, child-parent stressors, environmental stressors, and family health stressors. How does this all fit together? The concept of intersectionality helped us describe the ways in which combined oppressive institutions like racism, sexism, residential segregation, and classism are interconnected and can lead to an inferior social status. And it explains how these simultaneous oppressions can have a cumulative effect that influences a person's health.
So this leads us to the purpose of our study, which is to examine if neighborhood racial segregation influences self-rated health by gender. We expected to find two things primarily in our study. First, women are more likely to report poorer self-rated health than men, regardless of their own race and also their neighborhood racial characteristics. Secondly, women are more likely to report poorer self-rated health than men when living in racially segregated neighborhoods as well. So a little bit about our methods. We utilized the New York City Community Health Study from 2010. This is publicly available data, so it's secondary data. They collected this through phone interviews. It was a stratified random sample of 34 neighborhoods throughout New York City, and you can see those here. And we also utilized U.S. Census data from 2010. We took self-identified race by zip code that was supplied by the New York City Health Department, and we aggregated that to the neighborhood level to create our typology, which I will describe. Just to give you a little more perspective about where this, where everything came from kind of in New York, it came from five boroughs in New York, so that includes Manhattan, Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, and the Bronx, in case you're familiar with New York City at all. So in order to describe our variables, first, our dependent variable is self-rated health. It's a well-used one-item measure of self-rated health, ranges from poor to excellent. It's been found to be reliable and valid in predicting mortality and morbidity. Our independent variable was gender, so male, female, and those were the only two categories we were supplied, so we weren't able to go beyond that. Finally, our neighborhood level moderator was the racial segregation typology that we adapted from Gibbons and Yang. So basically what we did is, in order to assign a racial segregation value to each neighborhood, if there was more than 60% of a minority group within that neighborhood, but no more than 25% of any other group, then they got either a score of being black, white, Hispanic, or other, or mixed, excuse me. And our individual level controls were income, education, maternal status or marital status, age group, and employment status. Real briefly about our analysis plan. So we utilized multi-level models. That was necessary because we had neighborhood level data, and so that violates the normal assumptions for regression. Then we also used ordered logit models because of the self-rated health variable was ordered. It was a total of 12 models stratified by resident race. So each race of the resident got 3 models total. So here's an example of one of the equations. It was also weighted, and we used HLM7 because it could accommodate survey weights, order-dependent variables, and multiple imputation because we had a high number of missing for income, so we had to multiply impute that. And just so real briefly because of time, sample characteristics, it was about half and half for gender. Even though it was fairly skewed for our self-rated health variable, that's very normal for as far as other distributions and other studies. This looks pretty normal, and it was a pretty good distribution of neighborhood segregation types. Oh, wrong way. So this is what our results would look like, but in order to make it a little bit more simplistic, I have a summary of findings, but if you would like our full models, I have those available, all 12, if you would like to look at all those great order logit models. So first we found that women, regardless of race, had higher odds of reporting poor health, which is not surprising. That's very well supported in the literature. But kind of interesting, neighborhood racial segregation alone did not predict self-rated health, and that actually goes against what we find in the literature, because typically we would find that there is that association based just on the neighborhood level characteristics. But when we threw that interaction term in there, that's where we got what we were really looking for. So we found that for gender and neighborhood racial segregation, for black women and white women, it did matter for their health outcomes. So for example, a black woman living in a racially segregated black or Hispanic neighborhood had a higher odds of reporting poor health than men, black men who were residing in white neighborhoods. We found kind of similar results for whites. So overall, certain neighborhood racial compositions did matter as far as self-rated health for women, so that was quite interesting.
So we identified some implications and recommendations for future research based on this work. Future research should look to replicate the study in other cities with better data, more neighborhoods. At the macro level, we're looking at policies and urban planning and community development that minimize inequality in resources across areas. So more access to specialized care, increasing availability of healthy foods, decreasing the availability and access to fast foods, reducing racial segregation to reduce crime in the neighborhood and increase safety and physical activity outdoors. At the neighborhood and individual level, we need to focus on increasing resources for women, particularly black women, within their neighborhood with a focus on these racially segregated communities. We've touched on the negative impact of stress in our talk, and so increasing social networks within the neighborhood, promoting positive coping mechanisms, we believe will be beneficial.
So as with all studies, and especially our secondary data study, there were a number of limitations. The most significant was there was a very small number of neighborhoods, so if anyone's a neighborhood level researcher, they understand that 34 neighborhoods is nothing. Like, we could only include one neighborhood level variable in our model. So while we would have liked to have included something about income or wealth or disadvantage, we just couldn't. It didn't work in our models. It would have gone beyond the power of our ability. Also, there were some issues, possibly depending on your school of thought, about categorical variables. All of our variables were categorical, so some people think that creates power problems within the models. Depends on what you think. And then finally, it was a cross-sectional design. And just a few acknowledgments. We want to thank the New York City Department of Health and Mental Health Hygiene for allowing us to use the data. And then we have a couple of faculty who aren't present but who were instrumental in helping us with this project. So there's our references. Thank you.